right, we are in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and the title of the sermon this morning is No More Children. No More Children, okay? You say, whoa, hold on a second, is this like a pro-choice, pro-abortion, pro-murder sermon? No, it's not. As you can tell, we just had a baby right now, okay? Look down at your Bibles at verse number 20. It says, brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. And in fact, the phrase that I'm using, no more children, can be derived from Ephesians chapter 4, where it specifically says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man of cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You see, these admonitions that we see in the Bible in Ephesians chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is what Paul the Apostle is specifically saying here is this: grow up, right? It's time to grow up. It's time to mature. It's time to start maturing in the Lord, getting rooted and grounded, and learning to be a mature, spiritual adult, so to speak, okay? And look, it should be our lifelong goal to grow up, right? You know, as it's your lifelong goal to grow up physically, you know, your lifelong goal as a human being, as a Christian, should be to grow up spiritually as well. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Bible says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. You never want to be a Christian that once you get saved, you're fine with everything, and you're not going to go to church, you're not going to read your Bible, you're not going to learn doctrine, you're not going to learn how to preach the gospel. No, you should want to grow. You should want to go forward. You should want to press toward the mark, forgetting those things which are behind, pressing forward to those things which are before, learning doctrine, learning principles, learning how to be a functional member of society. This is important today. Why is that? Well, first and foremost, because our society is filled with a lot of men who never grew up.
Yep.
Right? Filled with 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds who have never grown up, still playing video games, still living in their mom's basement, still, you know, depending on someone else to support them. No, this ought not to be the case for the biblical Christian. The biblical Christian should have a desire to say, you know what? I want to be responsible. I want to grow. I want to mature. I don't want to be a baby anymore, okay? Now, let me say this is that all of us, when we first get saved, when I talk about being saved, the Bible uses that word saved in reference to being rescued from hell. How are we rescued from hell? Well, the Bible says that we have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not based upon how good of a person you are. It's not based upon how well you can keep God's commandments or if you were baptized in times past. Salvation is solely based upon your faith in Christ, because he's the one who died on the cross for your sins. He's the one who bore our own sins on his own body on a tree. And the Bible says that when we place our faith in him, he gives us his righteousness, his perfection, right? And that allows us entry into heaven. But let me say this. When we first get saved, we start off as babies, okay? And in fact, the Bible specifically uses this term, a babe in Christ, okay? It's not referring to like a babe the way people use babe today, okay? Babe simply means like they're an infant. They're a child. They are a newborn, okay? So this term, babe in Christ, is not a term that, it's not a slam on anybody, okay? It's like, oh, are you calling me just an immature little baby? Well, actually, the Bible refers to newly saved people as babes in Christ. And look, not just newly saved people, sometimes people who have been saved for decades but never really grew. They never got into a good church. They never read their Bible. They never learned anything. They never, or anything spiritual, so to speak. They never, or maybe they went to a church where they didn't teach any doctrine. You know, they didn't grow. Those people can still be babes in Christ. And it's not an insult. It's not an offensive thing to say that, because we all started off as babes in Christ, okay? It's not a slam. It's just a term to identify those who are newly saved or who have not grown in the Lord, okay? It's a biblical word to describe this. And we see this throughout the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Hebrews chapter 5. We see this in 1 Peter chapter 2, all describing the person who is a babe in Christ. So just know, understand this. This is not a term that's used to say, you know, a person's been in church for 30 years. Well, I'm not a babe in Christ because I've been in church for 30 years. That doesn't determine whether you're a babe in Christ or not. Because people could be in church for decades, not learn anything, not apply anything, not put anything into practice, they could be a hearer of the word and not a doer, and they're a babe in Christ because of it, okay? You know, how long of a time you've been in church, how long you've been saved for, does not determine whether you're a babe in Christ or not. What determines it? What you do with what you know. That's what determines it, okay? And look, this is a great comparison here. Why? Because a babe, a physical baby, shares a lot of attributes and characteristics with the babe in Christ. Now, I know this more than anything today because of the fact that we just got a brand new baby in our household, Isaias, okay? I'll spare you the story of how that came about and how my wife, you know, went into the trunk of the car so she can go to the hospital. Not because I forced her in there, right? We were like, what in the world? She's like, I can't handle it. Then she ended up leaving and stuff like that. We weren't fighting or anything, okay? We were going to the midwife, and she's like, she's getting these contractions, and then she's like, I can't sit in the front. And so she crawls into the trunk, you know, of our van. And I'm not going to fight my wife, okay? It's like, she's giving birth. You know, two blocks down, she's like, I can't do this, pull over. In the busiest street, okay? And I'm like, all right. So I get out, and just all four corners are filled with people in cars. I open the trunk. My pregnant wife is like crawling out with contractions. How does this look to everyone? When this Muslim-looking guy gets out of the vehicle, and they're like, this Muslim guy is having his wife, putting his wife in the trunk. It's like, she told me to do that, okay? But now we have a baby, or she has the baby, she had the baby, and you know what? As I observe him, I'm reminded of how similar a physical baby is to a spiritual babe, okay? Go to Galatians chapter number 4. Galatians chapter 4. In fact, the event, the moment of salvation is compared to a birth, okay? The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So often the Bible references salvation to being born again, right? It compares it to a birth. 1 Peter 1:22 says, seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. How are we born again? We hear the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We believe it, we believe on Christ, and that's how we get saved. Look at Galatians 4, verse 19. Now, we're in the book of Galatians on Sunday nights, and I'm actually teaching through Galatians chapter 4 tonight. And so I don't want to steal the thunder from this verse, but it's a great verse. Paul the Apostle is speaking to those whom he led to Christ. And he says, my little children, he's not referring to the physical children, he's referring to his spiritual children. Verse 19, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. What is he saying there? Well, to travail, you know, if you ladies know what I'm talking about, what it means to travail in birth, you know, the screaming, the weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth when the baby's coming, the contractions, that's travailing, okay? So what is the Apostle Paul saying here? He's travailing in birth until they get saved, basically, okay? Because what he's doing is he's trying to be as thorough as possible to push the gospel unto them, just as a woman pushes out, right? So they could understand, have a clear understanding of the gospel, so he knows, hey, these people are saved. That's what he's talking about there. This is not referring to, you know, helping them grow in Christ. He's like, I'm travailing in birth until you are born again, until you can come out, right, of the matrix, as the Bible puts it, and you are a born-again Christian, okay? I desire to be present with you and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. So much of the time, the Bible refers to a newborn Christian as a baby, a physical baby, because of the way they get saved, the way they come into this world, so to speak. You know, they're a new creature in Christ, as the Bible puts it. But you know, another reason why is because they're very dependent. A baby is dependent, okay? They can do nothing for themselves. They don't know how to do much, okay? The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 2:7, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. And you know what? Babes in Christ need cherishing. They need someone to take care of them. Babies need someone to feed them, right? You know, my son Isaias, he is eating from his mother's milk, and she needs to, he can cry, but he, you know, he can cry and weep and gnash his gums together, but he can't feed himself. He can just open his mouth, right? He needs my wife to come and feed him and regularly feed him. Well, in like manner, when someone gets saved, they need someone to feed them. You say, well, who's that? The pastor. Amen. They need to get into a Bible-believing church where they're preaching the Word of God. They're not just giving you some motivational speech. They're not giving you some just encouragement. They're giving you doctrine. They're giving you the Word of God. They're teaching you doctrine. They're feeding you. Because if you think about it, you know, there's a difference between milk and meat, right? Meat is when someone can pull out a fork and knife, cut it, and put it to their mouth and eat it. Milk is when you are actually having someone else feed you, okay? Now, obviously, there's times in the Bible where milk is also referred to just the basic doctrines, and the meat of the word are those deep doctrines, but it's also symbolic of how we feed, how we eat. When we have milk is when someone is actually feeding you. When you're having meat is when you're doing your own Bible reading at home, and you're feeding yourself, okay? But they need someone to feed them. They need to come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Thursday night to hear the Word of God, to be fed. You know, they may not understand the Word of God right away. You know, they may not understand the deep doctrines of the Bible, but that's why the Bible says that God has given pastors, evangelists, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, that we henceforth be no more children. So in order for our children to grow, they need two essential things, food and sleep, right? They need food, they need to constantly be fed, and they need to sleep a lot so their brains can develop. Well, in like manner, Christians, when they're born again, they need to be in church so they can be fed, okay, so they can grow spiritually. But they also need someone to help them to regulate their body temperature, okay, until they can get that brown fat. I'm talking about babies, okay? You know, you ever see a baby and they're just super chunky? You know, their thighs are really chunky, their arms, they've got these cheeks, you know, and I love it when my children are like that, okay? That's brown fat. Why? Because they are incapable of shivering when it's cold. Therefore, they have brown fat to warm them up. They need someone to help them get warm. Well, in like manner, it's the same thing with a new believer. You know, new believers need someone to light a fire under their rear end to get them on fire for God, right? They need to be around other Christians who are zealous for the things of God. They're excited about the things of God. They love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you know what that does? That rubs off on people. Yeah. Hey, but you know what? When you're around a bunch of lukewarm, lame Christians, that rubs off too. Yeah. You become lax. You become lazy, spiritually speaking. You become just disinterested and dull of hearing when it comes to the Word of God, and that rubs off. But you know, in like manner, when you're around zealous people, that helps you to regulate your body temperature, spiritually speaking. That gets you on fire for God, okay? You know, they need someone to change them, right? You know why? Because babies make messes. I'm learning that again this week, okay? They can make some pretty big messes. Now, we want them to make messes because they have to make messes, right? But you know what? Christians, brand new Christians, they make a lot of messes too. Say things they shouldn't say, do things they shouldn't do. You say, what do they need? They need someone to change them, right? You know how you put a diaper on, you know, a baby. I'm not saying we're putting diapers on adults. What I'm saying is, hey, they need someone to come to them and correct them and say, hey, you shouldn't be doing that. You know, you shouldn't be watching this. You shouldn't be listening to that. You shouldn't be hanging around these kind of people. These are bad influences in your life. They need someone to help them to change is what I'm saying, to be renewed, all right? Hey, they need someone to teach them how to communicate. You know, as children grow, you want to teach them how to verbalize their needs, how to communicate, talk about when they're hungry, when they need to use the restroom, when they have a specific need. Well, we need to teach Christians Christianese, right? How to use biblical language and how to use Bible terms and not use terms of the world in relation to the Word of God, okay? Well, I just want a relationship with God. That's not a biblical term, okay? You know, we need to teach them biblical words, how to communicate. You know, the Bible says that the righteous teacheth his lips, right? They need to be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh them of the reason of the faith that is in them with meekness and fear. So we want to teach them how to preach the gospel, right? When a Christian comes, they're just, you know, being a Christian is not just coming to church. It's learning how to be a gospel preacher. How to go soul winning. Well, they need someone to teach them that, okay? They need someone to love them. You know, my son right now, even my son Bruce and Kyla and Isaiah, they all need love. They all need someone to come gently and nourish them and love them and care for them, you know, because of the fact that maybe they're getting rid of some of their bad influences in their lives and they don't have the friends that they used to have. Well, here's some friends right here. You know, they need someone to take them to go get a coffee, a burger, to go fellowship with, to have friends. They need someone to love them, okay? Hey, they're emotionally unstable. How many of you know that? Those of you who have toddlers, don't toddlers have like a breakdown at least once a day or two times or three times or four times or five? Sometimes they're just like, you know, right now my kids are a little jealous of the newborn. So their breakdowns are more frequent. You know, they're just like crying. It's like, what's wrong? You know, like, I want that. You know, they don't want anything. They're just emotionally unstable. Okay. And you know what? New Christians are the same way because they bring baggage with them. Okay. And sometimes they're like, I don't want to go to church. And, you know, I'm going through all these things. You know, we need to teach them how to rule their spirit. Right. To be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, to have rule over their own spirit, to do things because they should do it, not because they feel like doing it. You know, that marks maturity. When you say, well, I'm going to go to work, not because I feel like going to work, but because I have to go to work. I'm going to go to church, not because I feel like it, not because they're giving caramel apples, but because the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Right? They need someone to teach them to be emotionally stable. All right? Hey, newborns can't control their urges. They cry. They just use the restroom whenever. You know, they don't know how to control themselves. We need to teach them how to control themselves, right? Well, same thing with Christians. You know, some Christians, they just give in to sin very easily. You know, they make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. They're very susceptible to just, you know, you got a guy who used to drink alcohol in times past. He's in church. He's getting the alcohol out of his life, but he's still hanging out with his buddies who drink 40s. Right? That's not very wise. Or he used to smoke weed. And he's like, I'm not going to smoke weed anymore because I know that's dishonoring to God. But you're still hanging around your cousins who smoke weed. You know, still hanging around the same old friends who use drugs. You know, this is not a wise thing to do. We need to teach newborns, hey, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Yeah. Okay? And often they're destroyed without remedy. You need to get away from these people, these bad influences. They're going to make you a loser in life. Control this. Look, babies often don't know what they need. Right? You know, kids are crying. It's like, you need a nap. I don't need a nap. And it's just like, you need to go to sleep. You can tell it's just like, okay, nothing is satisfying him. He's not hungry. You know, they're not whatever. They're just tired. They just need to go to sleep. And then they may protest that all day, but as soon as you lay them down, they just knock out. Because we know what they need. Well, in like manner, newborn Christians often don't know exactly what they need. Okay? You say, how do they learn? In church. That's why it's important that people are rebuked, reproved, right? The Bible says to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. You know, we need to preach on sin. We need to preach not just on your sins. We need to preach on the sins of our nation. Some people just need to change their minds in regards to what's been they've been influenced by the culture. They sometimes don't know what they need, but the Bible does, God does, the pastor does. And look, we're not a church where it's just like, well, just take my word for it. Hey, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. You open up the Bible and see if that's true what I'm saying or not. Okay? So these are some similarities between physical babies and spiritual babies. And look, we all started off as a spiritual babe in Christ. You may be a spiritual babe now. You may have been in times past, but no matter what, we all started that way. But here's the thing. You shouldn't stay like that. You should have remained a baby. You should have a goal. I want to grow up. Don't be a Toys R Us kid. Right? I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid. I don't know how the song. Don't be Peter Pan. Please don't be Peter Pan. Neverland, like you never want to grow up. You just want to stay a kid forever. No, grow up. Mature in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might to the point where people are now dependent on you to help them to grow. That should be the goal. Not you depending on someone else, but someone depending on you. Okay? And look, I'm going to give you just three basic points today. Very simple, but this is very necessary. And let me just illustrate it this in this way, okay? When you are first saved, or maybe you've been saved for a while, but you understand that you're a babe in Christ, you have some choices you need to make. Okay? You're going to travel down a spiritual road, and you're going to come in a fork in the road, and this is going to determine whether you're going to stay a babe in Christ or you're going to grow up. Okay? And these are the forks in the roads that I'm going to talk about this morning. So if you want to grow, if you want to grow up, you don't want to be a Toys R Us kid, you don't want to live in Neverland, you want to grow up, this is what you need to do. Number one, you have one of two choices with this fork in the road. Remain unstable or become teachable. You could either remain unstable or you could be teachable. And there is no third option. Well, I'll just take this path. There is no other path. There's one of two choices. Yep. You could either be unstable like water, thou shalt not excel, or you can be teachable, okay? Go with me, if you would, to go to James chapter number 1, if you would. Look, babies are naturally unstable. They're not firm. I mean, have you ever carried a newborn? You carry them, they're like... You have to, like, be careful with their neck because they're just, like, neck falls back and stuff. They have no control. You need to hold their head. You need to be very gentle, you know. They can't control themselves, okay? Well, that's a perfect picture of a brand-new Christian. They're just very unstable, okay? They're not firmly fixed on the Word of God. Why? Because our stability comes when we know what the Bible says and we don't change on it. You know, we have our loins girt about with truth. Our core values is who we are, and we're not going to change. You understand? This is important. They don't have core values. They can often waver. You know, they're strong in the Lord in one day, and then the next day they're just falling apart. You know, they're reading their Bible 10 chapters a day one day, and then the next day they just forsake the Word of God completely. They're praying, and they're just on fire, and then the next day they just sizzle out. This is an unstable person. Okay, we want to be the kind of Christians, not that are always up here. You don't want to always be down here. You want to be just right here, just stable. Well, you know, I just feel like I got to read 20 chapters. Just start with 3. Right? You know, especially if you've never read in your life. You know, if you didn't have the habit, the discipline of reading, reading the Bible can be very difficult. You need to be able to develop the habit and the appetite to read. Okay, and don't give yourself this insurmountable goal of 10 chapters a day if you've never even read a book in your life. And I'm not talking about Dr. Seuss. That does not count. Okay, you know, they can often waver. And look, the element of success for the Christian life is stability. That's what it is. What's the key to succeeding in the Christian life? Well, first, be stable. Be stable in church. Be stable in your spiritual disciplines. Be stable in soul winning. Be stable as a husband. Be stable as a wife. Be stable as a son and as a daughter, as an employee. Just be stable. Start off with that. Well, but teach me about the timeline of the post-trib, pre-wrath, rapture. No, let's talk about being stable first. Let's talk about your stability first and your discipline first, your character first. That's what's important. All those other things come later, okay? Because in order to grow and succeed, you need to be grounded. The Bible says, I'm going to read to you from Colossians 1:23. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature, which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. 1 Peter 5:10 says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Settle down. Okay? Don't be a wavering type of a Christian. Hey, how about the admonition, the prophecy that came to Reuben in the book of Genesis from his father Jacob? What did he tell his son? Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. Because you're so unstable, you're just wishy-washy, you waver everywhere you go, you will not excel. You are not going to succeed in life. You will not succeed as a Christian. Why? Because you're unstable, Reuben. Thou shalt not excel. You know, water can be unstable. It just conforms to everything. You can't just pour it out and then it just stays in its original form. It's going to make a mess. It's going to spread. And Christians are like that. They need structure to keep them where they need to be. They need the structure of the cup in order for the water not to get all over the place. If not, they won't excel. Okay? Look at James 1, verse 6. It says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. What is a synonym for someone who is unstable? They're double-minded. You know, I'm all in for God, and then they're not. You're wavering. And you know what God is saying? Don't think I'm going to give you anything if you ask for it. Now look, ask and you shall receive. You have not because you ask not. But if you ask and you're wavering, God says, you're not getting nothing. Not getting anything. Hey, you want your prayers answered? Don't be wavering. Be settled, established. Don't be unstable. If you're going to succeed in your prayer life, you need to make sure that you're not wavering, that you're not double-minded. Well, I'm going to try this Christian thing out. I'm going to try this church out. I'm going to try soul winning out. And if I don't like it, doesn't work that way. Nothing wavering. Just be fixed, be settled on the things of God. Babes in Christ are often unstable. And look, this can be applied to all types of areas in our life. Go to Hebrews chapter number 5, if you would. Hebrews chapter number 5. Hey, for those of you who have jobs, be stable. You know, unless obviously you get a raise or you get a better offer, but don't always look to find that perfect job. The perfect job is the job that pays you. That's the perfect job. The perfect job is the job where you can work and you earn a paycheck to pay your bills. Well, yeah, but I want this amount of money. Well, why don't you stay there, be stable, and then you'll get a raise to earn extra money. Right? Hey, ladies, those of you who are not married yet, be stable as a Christian girl so that before, when you get married, this is what the kind of wife you're going to be when you're actually married, when you have a husband. Not an emotionally unstable wife where, you know, you're in for God at one point and you're out, you're having trouble teaching your children, you're having trouble serving your husband. That's unstable. We want to make sure that whether female or male, whatever role we are fulfilling, that we're fulfilling it as a stable person, okay? Hey, you know, don't be the kind of Christian that goes from church to 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 church. Now, if you are in a lame church, then yeah, it's time to move on. If you feel like you're not growing in your church, that's not your fault. This is not a slam on you. You know what? Maybe it's just time for you to move on to a church where you can actually grow. But you know, some Christians, they're not happy no matter where they go. You know what that is? An unstable Christian. They find, you know, the littlest flaw in the pastor or in the church or in the people, and they want to use any excuse not to be in that congregation. They're just unstable is what it is, okay? But you know, sometimes unstable Christians can often even misinterpret the Bible. That's why it's important to get in church. Let me read to you from 2 Peter 3:16. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. So who are the people who are responsible for twisting the scriptures the most? Obviously false prophets do, but they do that willingly. But you know who also twists the scriptures? People who are unlearned and unstable. You know, you got a guy who's been saved for like 6 months to a year and they want to come and correct me on doctrine. And they haven't even surpassed the New Testament. They haven't gotten into the Old Testament yet. They want to talk about end times Bible prophecy. They want to talk about, you know, replacement theology, all the intricacies of deep doctrine, but they didn't even know the basics. They're unlearned, unstable. Rest means they twist it. Oh, no, I'm different, though. I've watched all the sermons on YouTube. I got them all memorized. Yeah, but did you read all the Bible? That's different. Okay? You know, we learn from other people, but you know what? A person who is unlearned and unstable is a person who has not developed the disciplines to learn on their own. You need to learn how to learn on your own. Not Google something every time you don't understand something. Why don't you actually just open up the Bible and actually try to learn it yourself? Okay? Or do you need the bottle? You need someone to warm up the bottle, put the cap, put it into your mouth, and feed it to you, and act like you ate steak. No, you know, we need to make sure that we as Christians, yes, we're learning from pastors, yes, we're learning from church, but you know what? You're learning on your own. You have to learn on your own, and newborns often have this attitude, this know-it-all attitude, this prideful know-it-all attitude, when the Bible says that they're desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, neither whereof they affirm. Okay? Look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. This is often an attribute of a babe in Christ. And you know what? What does it stem from? Pride. Pride. Because you know what pride does? It doesn't want you to admit that you're wrong. And it doesn't want to admit that someone else knows more than you. You know, the prideful person knows everything. The prideful person, you can't teach that person anything. You can't even catch them off guard because they already know. Like, oh yeah, I already know that. You're not teaching me anything new. I already know all these things. Well, you know the Bible says, if you think you know something, you don't know anything at all, actually. Whereas the person who's growing understands, I don't know everything. And if you can teach me something, all the better. Look at Hebrews 5:11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Just understand this. Knowing doctrine is great. Practicing doctrine is greater. Because you're actually exercising your senses to discern both good and evil. And look, if you only have the knowledge, but you're not a doer of the word, you're going to forget. So the knowledge that you're taking in, it's going to go out because you're not putting it into practice. You're not discerning between good and evil, okay? So babe in Christ, look, this is one of the reasons why I'm never going to send out anybody who doesn't know the Bible, who is a brand new Christian. Look, I won't even consider you. I won't even consider you to be a pastor if you've only been saved for like a year or 2 years. Why? Because you're a novice. A novice is a newborn. And the Bible specifically tells us, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into condemnation of the devil. Okay? Oh, don't call me a novice. That's just showing you that you're a novice if you get offended at that. It shows you're a novice when you actually get offended at that. Because great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. If you actually love the word of God and you're like, well, I guess I'm not ready then, but I should just enjoy growing, enjoy being in church, enjoy soul winning, enjoy learning how to be a leader, enjoying how to communicate, enjoying learning how to mature. But if you get offended at that, you say, no, I'm already ready. You're not ready. Don't ask me, you know, if you haven't even done the basics. This is important because you can't be a novice according to the Bible. And look, this is why newborn Christians, you guys got to be careful who you listen to on the internet. Because there's a lot of false prophets out there that beguile unstable souls, the Bible says. Well, I heard this dispensationalist, and you know, I don't agree with them on the other stuff, but he got some pretty good stuff on the reptilians and you know, the hollow earth or whatever. You know, he's got some pretty interesting things on the. Give me one of those stupid conspiracies. What? Please. You know, I didn't say retarded. I said stupid. Okay. Flat Earth is retarded. Okay. No, you know the skinwalkers.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, he provides good evidence for these skinwalkers. You know, if you are into that stuff, you're a babe in Christ.
Yep.
If you even consider those things, you are a baby in Christ. I find that offensive. Point proven. Thanks for proving my point. You know, well, you know, there is some strong evidence. Oh, you mean the pixelated video on YouTube? Is that what you're talking about? You mean the heavily pixelated video of some dog that's walking in South America at 1 o'clock in the morning or something? Is that what you're talking about? This is stupid. Amen. Don't expect me to respect your intelligence if you even consider those things. Yeah, right. You know, I agree with Pastor Mejia on everything else, but just the skinwalkers, not the skinwalkers. I just don't agree on the flat earth. There's so much overwhelming evidence. Where? Like on social media? Did you know that that's not how you study to see if a thing is true or not? You don't go to Instagram. You don't go to the biggest account on social media to find out if that's true or not. That's a babe in Christ, okay? You say, why do they believe that? Because they're unstable. And they've been beguiled because of that, okay? This is why, you know, and look, I'm not saying stay off the internet. We're on the internet, amen? But at least you can prove what I'm saying is true or not based upon the Bible. Amen. You know, I'm not giving you a pixelated video. I'm not talking about weird stuff on the internet. You know, oh, what's your thoughts on Area 51 and the UFOs? I don't think about it. End of discussion. Well, I just think they're hiding something there. Who cares? Okay. And look, it'd be wise for you to not open up your mouth and even entertain that thought or even jest about it as though you believe it. Because by the way, most people who do that, they're testing the waters to see if you actually, you know, you believe the same thing. And then once you mock them, you're like, oh yeah, yeah, that's stupid, yeah. That's what they do. No conversations about no skinwalkers. You do, you will be mocked severely. By the pastor. This is foolishness and folly. This is for children. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. This is someone who is unskillful in the word of righteousness. And look, we have people in our church who were formerly flat earthers. Formerly. Former to what? Being saved. Or maybe they just got saved and they got sucked into that, but then they realized this is stupid. You know why? Because they grew up. Yeah. They grew up. And anytime we mention the flat earth, YouTube Baptist Church gets so offended at this. Because there's so many people out there, and they're just like, I can't believe you said this. You're wrong. You know, the earth is not round. It's flat. There's so much evidence. It's like, you're a babe in Christ. You're either not saved or you're just a babe in Christ. Okay? Come out from among them and be separate. Ephesians 4:11, look what the Bible says. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. When it talks about perfecting, it doesn't mean to make them sinless. It's talking perfecting means to complete them, okay? For the perfecting of the saints, why? So they could just be smart? No, for the work of the ministry. See, knowledge in and we work these things out, right? For the edifying of the body of Christ, so we can have intelligent laborers in this local body of believers. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of flat earth doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You know, these people who believe these stupid controversies or these conspiracies, the people who are teaching them don't even believe it. They're like laughing at you. Like, I can't believe we got that guy to believe that. We got him to subscribe to the channel. Okay. So what am I saying? What I'm saying is this. You know, if you got offended at any of that, you're still a babe in Christ. But here's your choice. You could either be unstable and remain in that way, or be teachable. Allow someone to teach you. And look, specifically, to teach you that you're wrong. You know, we don't become better by always succeeding. Did you know that? We only become better by failing and by evaluating that failure and learning from it. So we need someone to teach us. You know, the greatest lessons that I learned were from people who told me that I was wrong. And look, I want to be right. Don't you? But you don't learn to be right being right all the time or acting like you're right all the time. You learn to be right when you recognize I'm wrong sometimes and I can learn from that. Okay? You know, the Bible says, go with me if you would to Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs 17. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 8:1, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. Proverbs 1:5 says, a wise man will hear and will increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Look at Proverbs 17, verse 27. Because what are we talking about? We're talking about succeeding as a babe in Christ. Like, moving on from that. Not being unstable, but being teachable. Look what it says in Proverbs 17, verse 27. He that hath knowledge spareth his words. You know what that means? Typically, those who know the most don't have to say that they know the most. People kind of know that about them. Okay? Spareth his words. And look what it says. And a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. What does excellent mean? Well, remember, to excel. This is a successful person here. An excellent person is someone who excels. Excellent, right? So why is he a person who excels? Because he understands. He spares his words when he gets the knowledge. We want to be excellent people. People who excel. But if you're unstable, you shall not excel. Be a person who's willing to learn. Okay? And there's nothing wrong with getting into a conversation after church and you don't know what's being taught or you don't know what's being talked about. There's nothing wrong with you saying, yeah, I have no idea about that, but I'm willing to learn about that. Teach me about that. You know, I love talking to some of the people in our church. I gravitate towards, like Brother Eddie is one of them. You know why? Because he knows a lot and he knows more than me in regards to history, ancient history. These things intrigue me, but you know what? I know that he knows more than me. Look, he knows a lot about Spanish history. I don't know those things, nor will I act like I learn those, like I know those things, okay? When I talk to him, I listen, I learn. Same thing. Everyone has strengths in this church where you can learn from. Dr. Reed is one of them, right? Everyone has something or someone that they know that they can learn from. Look, I'm learning Greek, but there's people out there who know Greek far greater than I do. When I talk to Pastor Anderson, I don't act like I'm at his level, like I understand everything that he's talking about. I sit there as a pupil, as a student, to learn from him because I know that he has excelled in that area. And I'm not going to be so foolish as to think, yeah, I already know all that. Don't teach me that, Pastor Anderson. I know that. You treat me like a contemporary when it comes to Greek. No. No, that's a babe mentality. The right mentality is he knows more than I do. That's why when we do the Greek live streams, I just keep my mouth shut. You know, I'll pipe in every once in a while if I have a thought, but for the most part, I keep it shut. You know why? Because he knows more than me. So why act like I know more than him or as much as him? I'm there to learn, not to prove something. And someone who thinks like they know it all, they're not trying to teach you. They're trying to prove something. They want you to have this this perspective of them as if they know everything. This is a babe in Christ. So what's your options? Your option is this: continue to be unstable or just be a teachable person. He said, how do I know which one I am? Well, when you get corrected, does that person ever come back to you to correct you? If they do, you're a teachable person. If they don't, you're not a teachable person. You know why? Because that person's probably realized this person got offended. I don't want to correct that person again because they can't take it. You know, the Christian life is not all exhortation. Sometimes it's a lot of correction, okay? Go with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 8, verse 2, and if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. Don't be a know-it-all, okay? No more children, guys. No more children, ladies, right? Now keep having, you know, children physically, but as far as spiritually speaking, you know, it's time to move on from that and to grow up, okay? So the fork in the road for newborns is, hey, you can either remain unstable or become teachable. Number two, here's a big one. Now listen, misplaced loyalty or following leaders as they follow Christ. This is a problem that the old IFB had immensely. Why is that? Because of the fact there's a man by the name of Dr. Jack Hiles. Great preacher, great man of God, but some people followed him blindly. Even to the point that if you disagreed with anything that Brother Hiles said, you're like a heretic. Okay? This is not a characteristic of a mature person. What's the characteristic of a mature person? Someone who says, oh, I follow anybody who follows Christ. And the power of God is not subject just to one person. Okay? Now, to prove to you that this is a mentality that babes in Christ have, look at 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with strong meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envyings and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. What is he saying? I'm nobody. Because he's talking about himself. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. Now, what am I saying specifically? Well, there's often, not just in the old IP, but even with us, okay, where babes in Christ have this undying loyalty to one person, to one leader. Whether that's myself, whether it's Pastor Anderson, whether it's Pastor Jimenez, and let me say this, that's not right. It's not right to pin leaders against one another as if one's better than the other. Let me give you an example of this, okay? Or you're criticizing Pastor Anderson. Pastor Anderson's like a father to me. And he agrees with what I'm saying right now. And by the way, this is my church, so I can say whatever I want from the pulpit. Now look, but he agrees with me. And this is a true saying worthy of all acceptation. Let me give you an example, okay? Because if you're not careful, babes in Christ could often have this mentality where, for example, Tyler Doka, okay, you know, the apostle of the flat earth, this, when he was found out to be a false prophet or whatever, I heard many people say, well, you know, that's why I'm only going to listen to Pastor Anderson and Pastor Jimenez. It's just like, you think God is only working through those two? What about Pastor McMurtry? What about, you know, Pastor Jonathan Shelley? What about Pastor Dave Berzins? No, only Apollos and Paul. I am of Apollos, and I'm of Paul, you know. And I can only trust these two. That is a babe in Christ mentality, okay? That shows me, that shows everyone that you don't understand what he's specifically saying here. He's like, I'm nothing. And look, I remember when I first went to Faith Forward Baptist Church, and whoever went there as well can attest to this, you're a little starstruck, okay, right? Oh, snaps, he's right there. That's him right there. It was like, he's walking, you know. And then you're there, it's just like Disneyland for the Christian. And honestly, I was like that. But I remember having conversations with Pastor Anderson, and he said this. He told me this. He goes, you know what? There's nothing wrong with having that attitude and that mentality, but if you stay like that, that's weird. That's weird. He just calls me Bruce, and he's like, Bruce, it shouldn't be like that between you. And I wasn't doing that, like, continuously, like, oh, Pastor Anderson, you know. But he was just like, now we're friends. We're contemporaries. You're my friend. I'm your friend. You teach me. I teach you. You know, we have to move on from that. And it's like stalker status if you don't. Because he even specifically said, at the end of the day, I'm just a man. You know, and look, I'm no one popular, but we've had people even start trouble at other churches Because their church is not operating like us. Not believing like I do. That's foolishness and folly. Amen. You follow your pastor. You make sure that you honor him. You respect him. That's your man of God. Amen? And don't think that God can only work through me or through Pastor Anderson or through just Pastor Jimenez. No, God, there's 7,000 prophets who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Amen. And look, there's 7,000 more who are coming afterwards too. You understand? Look, there were 7,000 prior to any of us. Because guess what? I think it was Brother Milan, he preached a sermon one time called Different Prophet, Same God. Because there's always going to be a different prophet, but the same God. So we need to make sure that our loyalty, we don't have just this undying loyalty. Because here's the thing. What if I fall into sin, for example? You know, at that point, you know, you can't have this respecter of persons mentality. You know, God forbid, what if that happened to one of our pastor friends? We can't have that respecter of person mentality. It's not bad to honor, to admire, to love. But there has to come a point where we say, well, we follow anybody who follows the Bible. We respect and honor anybody who follows the Bible. Oh, no, 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 no. I only one guy. I just want one guy on my list. You're a babe. And basically what you're saying is that God is only limited to only using one person. That's what you're saying. Right? That God can only use one person. No, you know what? This may even surprise you, but God could even use you. God could even use a person like you, you know, because at the end of the day, it's really dependent on the person who submits themselves to God. Now, look, there will always be a special place in our hearts for those who change our lives. Amen. There will always be a special place in our heart for those who led us to the Lord, or even for people who helped us to grow in Christ. Pastor Anderson will always have a special place in my heart. I didn't get saved through him, but, you know, I learned a lot from him. He's like my mentor. I will always, and look, there's a special place in my heart for my old pastor. Yea, even for Bob Gray Jr., not senior. Amen. I have to clarify that, okay? Why? Because it was through Bob Gray Jr. that I got saved. Amen. But you know what? If any of those guys make a left turn, well, guess what? I don't have this undying loyalty to them. Well, I don't care if he's in a repent of your sins and he's teaching the flat earth. I love that man. No, it's just like, well, I'm following Christ. Look, it's not like this, but there's an extreme that I saw in the old IFB where when Jack Scott was found out, you know, that wicked false prophet, when he was having these physical relations with this teenage girl, you know, there's people from that church that were like, oh, I love Jack Scott no matter what. He's innocent. It's like, the evidence is right here. They're lying and all this. He said it out of his own mouth. Hello? But it's just this unbiblical loyalty that people have towards a person, the person, and not towards Christ. You know, there's going to be new pastors who come into our movement that I've never even heard. I'll follow them as long as they stick to the Bible. I'll look up to them. I'll learn from them because it's God working in them. Now, look, let me give you an example of this. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Look, Barnabas had to do this for Paul. Because everyone was like, oh, no, you know, who's Paul? And then Barnabas was like, hey, he got saved. God's using him to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Yeah, but Peter, you know, Cephas and John, these guys are pillars, and these guys have been there since the beginning. Yeah, but God is using Paul, though, too. Look at 1 Corinthians 9, verse 1. Paul the apostle is saying this about himself. Now, remember, he established the church at Corinth, right? He's saying, verse 1, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yea, doubtless I am to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. Mine answer to them that do examine me is this. Have we not power to eat and drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? What is he saying? Just because I came later, don't you think I could even lead Peter? Don't I have the authority and the power to do that? Of course he does. You know what? Because God is using him too. Okay? So what I'm saying is, and look what it goes on to say, verse 6, or I only am Barnabas. Have not we power to forbear working? So he's defending himself, saying, look, I know I came later on, and you guys don't respect me, but you know what? God can still use me as he can use you, as he's used Cephas. And look, Galatians chapter 2, God used Paul to rebuke Peter, even though he came later on in the game, okay? What's the solution? We need to make sure that as if you're a babe in Christ, do you make the decision to say, you know what? I want to follow Christ and follow the men who follow Christ, no matter who they are, right? No matter who they are, if they're following Christ, if they're preaching the word of God, if they are being used of God, then you know what? I want to be associated with that person, okay? And look, we all have a right to be associated with anybody, all right? Look, Pastor Aaron Thompson, doing a great work. Amen. Was a blessing on Friday. I'm thankful to be associated with him. You say, well, why? Because God's using him. Amen. And look, we disagree on some things, you know? We've talked about it. We disagreed on it. But you know, I still had him come down and preach for us. He thought that I was going to disagree with him on something that he said up here. I told him, I was like, yeah, I agree with you on that. There's other things that we disagree about, but you know what? At the end of the day, God is using him, and I can learn from that man, and I have learned from him. You know why? Because he has older children. He's been around the block longer than I have, and I'm not going to be so foolish as to think, well, you know, I'm new IFB too. You know, haven't you seen my YouTube channel? Haven't you heard my sermons? You know? No, for me, it's just like, I can learn from Pastor Thompson. He has something that I can learn, and I can learn from, I can glean wisdom from. So be followers of Christ. Follow the man who is following Christ, though, okay? Don't take it to the other extreme. Here's my last point. Go with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 2. No more children. You know, children, and this is good, obviously, but this is just a really raw example. You have children where, like, you take them to their cousins and they just, or their family, you know, and they just don't want to go with anybody. Just want to stick with mom and dad. Which, by the way, is good because sometimes children actually can feel the vibes of some wicked person. But sometimes they're just being weird like that. Or they're just like, no, I don't want to go with anybody, you know. And after a while, they start lining up. They start having fun. And then they get away from mom and dad and go play with their cousins or whatever, okay. Well, a babe in Christ has to do the same thing, okay? You need to learn how to listen to others and follow others as they follow Christ. No more children. So you can either remain unstable or become teachable, have misplaced authority, or follow leaders as they follow Christ. And here's the third one. You could either stay carnal or you could lay aside your sin on a daily, weekly basis or whatever. Okay, look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, what do I mean by that? I'm working on you right now, right? But when you leave, you need to work on yourself. You need to work on yourself. You know, you, look, don't come to church and just wait for that one sermon that's going to change your life. Why don't you just read your Bible and change your life? Amen. You know, look at 1 Peter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. So what is he saying? Look, just as newborn babes desire the milk so they can grow, that's what you need to do. But how does that happen? By laying aside, you know, sins. And look what verse 3 says. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You see, when someone first gets saved, they don't have this I'm just going to read the entire Bible cover to cover, and I just have this strong desire to do so. That appetite, that desire comes as they taste. Right? So it's like, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby, if so be that you have tasted. You know, start eating vegetables and start liking it unless you haven't tasted vegetables at all. You can't desire something you haven't tasted, right? So what does that mean? That means you have to go home, open up your Bible, and start reading it on your own. And then you start, that was actually pretty good. I think I'm going to do this every day. And then guess what? Here's a really cool thing. You start reading the Bible on your own, then I'm preaching, you're going to hear something from the sermon that you got from your Bible. You'll be like, man, I just read that. I was just thinking the same thing. I just learned that today. I learned that last week. See, you don't only want to be learning things when you come to church. When you come to church, what's going on? the principles are being reinforced of things that you already learned in your own time. Okay, we're not a Catholic church where it's like, just believe me, take my word for it, and, you know, close your Bibles, look up here. That's not the way it works. You open up the Bible. And if I'm wrong, come tell me after the service that I'm wrong and show me. I'm not afraid of you. That's why we tell everyone to open up their Bibles. And go to the scriptures so you can see it for yourself. But you know what? You have to be able to taste it. And work on yourself, on your own. Okay? You need to make sure that when throughout the week, you're applying that which you're learning. Now look, if you want to be a babe in Christ, okay, then stay carnal. Stay fleshly, stay carnal, stunt your growth, and stay where you're at. But you know what? I don't want to do that. I want to get stable. I want to still be teachable. I want to make sure that I'm still following Christ. I want to make sure that I'm learning, that I'm continuously reading the Bible. You know, I want to make sure that I'm stable, even though there's times in life where you can become unstable. I want to make sure that my life is characterized of stability. You know, I want to make sure that even though my love for certain leaders has exceeded my love for other leaders in times past, that my loyalty is still to Christ. You know, look, the men in the new IFB, the pastors in the new IFB have helped me grow even more so than some leaders in the past. Exceedingly. Very grateful for them. But you know what? At the end of the day, I have to recognize God has used these people to help me to grow. It's God who's done it. And lastly, I got to make sure that I stay in the Word of God, that I'm continuously learning. Hey, no more children, guys. No more children. Don't call me a child. Don't call me a baby. You're just proving the point. It's time to grow up. No more children. Learn these things, and when you come to the fork in the road, take the right side, be teachable, follow the Lord, and make sure that you're cleaning up your own lives. Amen? Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word. God, I pray, God, that you'd help us, Lord, to continue to grow in grace. I'm thankful for the men of God in my life, whether in present time or even in times past, who taught me these things. And Lord, because of that, I can say I'm not a babe in Christ. And if I was a baby in Christ, I shouldn't be the pastor here. And God, I pray that each and every person under the sound of my voice who are babes in Christ, that they would make that decision to be teachable, to follow the Lord, and to work on themselves, that they would be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. And help us to do so, Lord. We love you so much, and we thank you. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.